I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Oh, man. Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. And you can also find us on your radio dial at ESPN New Hampshire Radio 900 and 1250 AM up in the Granite State and streaming live on ESPNNHradio.com. Matter of fact, Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, he gets the outlet pass behind the back lefty, and Jordan Mickey throws down the dunk. I'm your host, Justin Poulin, and with me, Josue. Josue, man, this was a nice little fun ending to a game where you just cannot give the Nets an inch, right? We've got their pick, and now you just want to step right on them, even if it is just the preseason.
Yeah, it's no mercy. No mercy, Justin. I mean, look at this team. They're trying so hard. This is like a regular season game for these guys. A lot of these guys trying to make this team, and I think a lot of these guys know the implications in terms of the whole draft pick situation last year carrying into this year, and I think they're all playing for, you know, pride, I guess, against the Celtics, but nope, not tonight. The Celtics pulled off a win right in the fourth quarter at the end.
Yeah, well, 197 is the final, and really a little bit of struggling shooting from Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley. This game almost not even really like a preseason game out at the outset. Kind of chippy, really, don't you think? But like we just talked about, I think the Nets know it too. And if there's one team that they have their mark or their eye on this season, it's going to be the Celtics. And they did hand them a loss when the Celtics sort of weren't in the game during the holiday season, right around, I think it was probably the end of December. I don't think it was, I know they lost to the Lakers, but I think that was like January 2nd. But those two stinkers that the Celtics threw out there during the holidays last year, I think the Nets, probably that's the team that they're going to play the toughest, is the Celtics. The narrative is just too strong for them.
Especially going into this year. I mean, the Celtics on paper should do much better than they did last year. So I think when you go into the season with the expectations even higher than the season before, you're supposed to win games against the Brooklyn Nets. When you want to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, you have to beat the Brooklyn Nets. All implications aside, you still have to beat this team. With the implications, you especially have to beat them next season, and you shouldn't have trouble with this team.
Yeah, you got to handle as many losses as you possibly can. And we are going to be taking your calls, the toll-free call-in line, the Movement Watches call lines, 347-215-7771. Let's just get them open right now. I want to hear from the callers. Let's get as many people in as we can. We've got Nick working the board. Nick, thank you for your efforts tonight. So let's put Nick to work. Let's get some callers in. Again, the number to reach us is 347-215-7771. The phone lines are brought to you by Movement Watches. While department store watches start at $400 to $500, the good folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out and are passing that savings directly on to you. Movement Watches are slick, fashionable, and most importantly, affordable, starting at just $95. That's a huge savings. Go to mvmtwatches.com/Celtics Beat, and we're going to help you out by giving you 15% off your first order with free shipping. That's mvmtwatches.com/Celtics Feed. And again, those movement watches call in lines 347-215-7771. We're going to get to them. Let me just, Josue, talking about Terry Rozier, how much fun is he to watch? And really, he could end up being one of the best three-point shooters on this team by the end of the year. He's really locking it down from outside.
Oh, that's my boy. I call him Rose. That's my nickname for him. I hope it catches on. But, yeah, that's Rose. That's Rose right there. I mean, he's going to knock down threes for you, going to push that ball. I thought the Nets sort of thought they could sucker him into committing a couple of turnovers by forcing the double team, which he sort of struggled, but he crawled out of it. He got comfortable in the second half, in the fourth quarter. And he's a distributor. That's a guy that the Celtics need. They need someone to fulfill that role that Evan Turner left behind. It's a topic that we'll be talking about a lot for at least the first couple of weeks of the season, is who's going to fill that role. And I think when it comes to being a distributor and being a four general, I think Terry Rozier is your secondary guy off the bench behind Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, you look at – I think it's basically going to go Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley for the most part at that two-guard spot when they do the rotations. And I think you're right, Rozier's going to come in after Isaiah. What this team needs is somebody who can run that second unit offensively and distribute the ball and be able to shoot and space it. And right now – We're seeing that from Terry Rozier. Tonight, his stat line, 10 points on 3-for-5 shooting, but most importantly, 2-for-3 from beyond the arc. The only other three-point shooter that really had a nice day was Jonas Jerebko, did a really nice job. I mean, we can give Al Horford props for his 1-for-1 as well. But really, Terry also throwing in 7 dimes. So that right there is a complete package off the bench. Now, I know it's the Nets, and I know it was the Nets bench as well. And even Anthony Bennett thinking he's hot stuff with that dunk, even though he was 1-for-9 from the field and really not contributing anything on the rebounding end of the game. But but really, that's what this team needs. They need somebody. Remember, at the start of last year, we were looking at Isaiah Thomas as the guy who was going to come in off the bench, provide some punch in that sort of six-man scoring role. Then he just plays his way into being an all-star. They still need that very much. And I really, for all intents and purposes, regardless of the competition, just what we've seen, I know Terry had a little bit of a more difficult outing the last game. He's looking like he could be the man to do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think he's your guy. I really do. With Marcus Smart, I mean, you can't overlook what he does and what he provides. He's a lockdown defender in the backcourt, someone who can score for you when he's driving to the hoop. But I don't know about you, Justin, but I'm looking at Marcus Smart throughout these first preseason games, and he really wants to make himself a three-point shooter, but it's just not working out for him, man. I mean, Marcus Smart is just – I think he knows that they need that off the bench. They need that three-point guy, especially in the backcourt. And between him and R.J. Hunter, you know, R.J. Hunter's not getting as much minutes as him. It has to be Smart, you know. Out of all these guys in the backcourt coming off the bench, Smart has to be a guy that you can rely on to knock down a couple of threes. And it's just not working for him as much as he wants it to work.
Oh, no, it's definitely – it's not falling. 0-for-4 tonight. 4-for-10 from the field. I think he's pressing it. I think he knows he worked at it in the offseason. Yeah. I think he wants to show his stuff, and he's trying to make that statement. And really, he makes so many other statements on the floor. He just needs to shoot it when he's open and wide open. And other than that, he can lay off the three ball. I know he thinks he's got to keep shooting it till he builds his confidence, but it actually could have the opposite effect if he continues to miss shots. He shouldn't force it. You know, somebody else who shouldn't force it is Jaylen Brown, who did have a pretty nice night. I know Brad Stevens put him back in because maybe he was on the slower start of things, but when they put the game on the line, and it really was pretty much within a 5-point game, within 5 points the entire game, when they put him back in and tried to close this one out, he did a much better job in that last stint. Really, nothing highlighting it more. I mean, he had a nice drive and a dunk, but that behind the back lefty pass, man, that's pretty
nasty.
Good. He's a rookie, and I know there's a lot of shots against his ability to shoot, but I think that's going to come, and he's just got such an advantage of not having all that pressure on him and other players around him to take the pressure off of him. So it's just it's a match made in heaven, and I really think Jalen's going to develop nicely this season because he's in the perfect situation.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say right before you finished saying what you had to say about Jalen. Jalen Brown has a sort of confidence in him because he's surrounded by guys who are fighting to be, again, one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. He's not one of these rookies who's asked to be the guy, you know, or be the number two guy. No, he's asked to come in off the bench, provide valuable minutes. He's that same kind of scrappy player that we've seen throughout a lot of these guys who've been on the Celtics for the last 2 years. He's someone who can slash to the hoop. I mean, the way this guy gets to the hoop, man, he has a sort of confidence that just doesn't look like a rookie. And that's what I love about him. I love this pick from day one, and I'm not here to say
me like, too. No, I'm with you. There's
it's
no
still,
revision.
It's still early,
there,
Justin.
Man. I am so with you.
I'm not sitting here trying to tell everyone, you know, pointing my finger in the face and saying I told you so. Not quite yet.
I am.
You're there already?
Oh, I'm already there. I've been there because I did the CLNS Draft Night show, and I just got roasted. I was on an island. I've mentioned it too many times on outlets here on CLNS Radio. But I was
getting torn apart. Yeah,
me
same.
Too.
Right, that same night. I was here on CLNS Radio talking about how I like him for the Celtics. I think he would be more valuable for this team than guys like Buddy Hield or, you know, a lot of the other guys that were projected to be in the top five in this draft.
Everybody
class.
Wanted a shooter. Everyone wanted a shooter or the big trade, and those were the only two acceptable options. Everybody's eyes were set on it, and I just saw what you saw, which is a smart kid who was willing to work, who had
right.
freakish athleticism and a
yep.
tough year at Cal. And I get it. I understand the knock. I understand the knock, and I understand he didn't fit the need. But you never draft based on need. Haven't we learned that
right.
lesson by now?
Exactly. No, you would think that that Celtics fans would have by now, but I guess we're wrong. You know, I guess we thought too much. You know what? It wasn't draft night. Let me just correct myself. It was the lottery night, and everyone was pissed off.
Oh yeah. Well, then
you know,
were way ahead of it.
Pick. Right, because in my opinion, if you're not getting one of the top two guys, and we know who those top two guys are, then I really like this guy as a third pick for the Celtics, just for the Celtics, for what this team is on defense, and for what this guy could be for you on the defensive end, okay? Let's just forget about his shooting abilities. Let's just forget about let's forget about the fact that he's not a three-point shooter. No, that's not what he is. But what he is on the offensive end, aside from his defense and what he could be in the NBA as a defensive guy, he's someone that will slash to the rim and get to the hoop and get to the free throw line. He is someone that's going to open things up for your three-point shooters. He's someone that you look at tonight, how many guys are staring at him or how many guys – he attracts when he's driving to the hoop. How many of these Nets players collapsed on him because they know what he's able to do, and he finishes strong at the rim. I mean,
yeah.
I still like this pick. I still do.
I love it, and I think that the stat line that everybody's going to want to point to is the three-point percentage, but what they should be looking at is the free throw percentage. And tonight, a good line for Jalen, 4-for-4. And I know in summer league he had some games where he missed multiple free throws, but
right.
to your point, he's only as effective at slashing and attacking the rim as he can make the free throws that follow in many cases. Now, he's athletic enough to finish it, and maybe we're going to see some and ones as the season progresses. But really,
right.
all you need Jalen Brown to be is a DeMar DeRozan in terms of his ability to attack the basket. I'm not saying, that's pretty high level, but I think he could be DeMar DeRozan. I think he could be Jimmy Butler. And those two players are but that's what his skill set is. He brings
mm-hmm.
what they bring to the Bulls and the Raptors, and that's what the Celtics need. They don't have an super freakish athletic. Now, I'll take it back. Isaiah Thomas is, but he's not going to be able to finish the way that long and lean Jalen Brown is going to be able to finish at the rim. And so it's a totally different element. The other thing that we knew about his defense that really came, I thought, out tonight even more, but he has the ability to alter shots, which is why this little experiment playing him at the four is a beautiful thing. And that was something else I did not think of when he was my consensus pick for number three, even prior to draft night, maybe not as early as lottery night, but maybe about 2 weeks later, I'd kind of settled in on Jalen. It was actually an article that Mark Spears wrote that set me off, but the point that's been made that I didn't think of ahead of time was just the amount of room he's going to have in this game to be able to attack the rim. The big knock on him in college was over aggressive to a fault. And I thought, I think in the NBA, there's no such thing.
No, you want guys like that. You want guys who can guard multiple positions while being able to grab offensive rebounds, give you second chance opportunities. I mean, he finds a way to get himself involved in almost every defensive play. And on the offense is going to come, you know, this is, of course, we got to remind people he's young. He still has a long way to go, but this is someone who's able to contribute right away. And I think sky's the limit for him. I really do.
Yeah. And God forbid anybody start mentioning him in trade talk already, because I'll flip a lid. All right. The movement watches.
I'll be right there with you.
Tomorrow, but I know, dude, I'm already set. I haven't been sold on a player that the Celtics drafted like this since Al Jefferson. Big Al was
Big
the
Al.
Last time that I was like, man, that's the guy they got to draft. Then they did, and I just was totally homerish. And you know what? I don't really care. I think objectivity is overrated. There's plenty of objective guys out there. Let's have some fun with it. Speaking of having fun with it, call the toll-free call-in lines, Movement Watches call lines, 347-215-7771. They're open. And even if you don't want to talk to us, you can call in and just listen. So that's always a possibility. And then if you decide you want to speak up, let us know. But the final, 197. We're going to take a commercial break in just a couple of minutes here. But before we do, I just feel like it's such a given that Al Horford is bringing so much to the table that it's just like the acquisition in free agency. It was like, okay, what's next? And that seems to be the way the whole conversation goes. And based on his personality, I think Al Horford would have no problem with this just way. But I still absolutely got to throw out love to Al Horford. Talk about knowing his spots, making the right read. The man is a surgeon. And that probably should probably be his nickname on the Celtics, right? Like some people have said Jaylen Brown should be the professor. I think it was Chris Forsberg over at ESPN Boston said Jaylen Brown should be the professor. Well, if he's the professor, then Al Horford's the surgeon.
The green surgeon. I like it. We should make that a new nickname for him.
Dude, he's so precise. It's really phenomenal what he's done to open up everything.
His presence just changes things, you know, and from that very first preseason game, you saw how he's able to just pick and roll a team to death, to the point where you got open jump shots for Avery Bradley, open jump shots for Jay Crowder. Isaiah Thomas can go inside. I love his hands on offense. I mean, if you throw it to him inside, he can, you know, he's not going to have a tough time picking that ball up if you give it to him down low. Offensive rebounds, he had four of them tonight. I mean, giving you second chance opportunities, he just does a little bit of everything. And his presence is just felt every time he's on the floor.
Yeah, it really is. And the rebounding, and I'm going to throw out a little love for my Celtics Stuff Live co-host, John Duke. He called it before a single preseason game was played that he said, pre-Budenholzer, I think that's what we're going to see out of Al Horford. That rebounding is going to come back. There was a lot of reasons to think that, but I think one of the biggest reasons is we knew he was a rebounder. And Brad Stevens is going to put him in a position to take advantage of his skill set. The other thing is, with all the athleticism that there is on this team, he can focus on that. But 9 rebounds tonight, it's really proving itself out. 62.5% from the field on 5-for-8 shooting, beautiful. He did hit that three-pointer. But, you know, 3 of those rebounds were offensive rebounds. The other thing is, did you expect to see this team get up and down as fast as they do? I mean, I know the athleticism and the youth is there, but you don't expect – I think sometimes last season when they would get in that up-tempo kind of offense, they would lose control of themselves, right? Mm-hmm. They would stop. Mm-hmm. But Al Horford's the steadying force for that. Because he's so calculated, like they get into that, but just his mere presence sort of like settles it down. And then, but they don't lose it because when they would get out of control with the up and down pace, then last season they would then abandon it. It would take them out of it. Instead, it's like they put the foot on the gas and then Al Horford steadies it when it's right at that point. And then they put the foot on the gas again. It's real. I mean, I hope that this continues in the regular season.
I think it should, Justin. I think it will. I mean, someone like Al Horford running the floor in some cases really jump starts their fast break. You know, it shows you the big difference when you have someone like Al Horford as opposed to Jared Sullinger, right? I mean, not to start knocking Jared Sullinger, but let's face it. I mean, when it came to getting up and down the floor, I mean, he wasn't the guy that was going to run the fast break for you. And not that, you know, that's something that Al Horford has to do every single time. But when he's the first one up the floor or one of the first guys running the floor, it just jump starts the offense. And that's how they start going, because teams are not going to leave him open. And that just opens things up for Isaiah Thomas to go inside and do what he does.
Yeah, and it's not always an outlet pass. Like you said, it's like anybody can initiate the break, and the high flyers can get down the floor, which means there's options once they're down there. There's not just one player who's ready to finish that. The ball movement is going to be fantastic. All right, we're going to head to break. Just a reminder real quick, got the toll-free lines open. The Movement Watches call line, 347-215-7771. We're going to be right back after this on the CLNS postgame show.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches. They start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celtics Beat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celtics Beat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celtics Beat.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show to the Garden Report to CSL and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
I love the beats. Love the beats. Josue, let's plug your show a little bit. Causeway Street here on CLNS Radio. You've been on the mobile app, I want to say, for at least a couple months now, 2 or 3 months. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's been a couple of months. Things have been great so far. You know, getting a lot more new followers, new listens, bunch of downloads. Thanks to CLNS. And its platform is causewaystreetblog.com if you want to check out our stuff, our articles. And, that's our name of our podcast, the Causeway Street Podcast. So check us out on the CLNS radio app.
Yeah, definitely do that. And while we talk about the app, just real quick, you know, we mentioned it at the start, but we're pioneering a partnership that's really one of a kind, unique, not something that you've probably seen – terrestrial radio put out stream on the internet, but not vice versa. I can tell you, I'm in my home office right now, Josue. I think you're in your home office, and
that's right.
we're putting it out over terrestrial airwaves. I mean, that right there
is something completely new. We do have to watch our language, though, so we got to get ourselves – not that I ever had a problem with that, but it's totally different on terrestrial radio. So
yeah,
we'll
especially
be,
when the games start mattering, you know, when they start mattering.
That's what I was
going to matter.
Say with the fire.
Yeah. When they start to matter, it's going to be tough right after the game. You know? We got to control ourselves.
That's so true, man. And, you know, there's so much great content with CLNS Radio. I do have to just let everybody know you can follow CLNS Radio on Twitter, at CLNS Radio. Don't forget the Facebook page, facebook.com/CLNS fans. And then Josue just told you about our awesome mobile podcast app. A lot of partnership between all the different shows. And there's, like five Celtics shows. We definitely, we've got Celtics Beat with Larry H. Russell. We have Causeway Street. We've got Celtics Stuff Live. We have the Scorching Shamrocks. And even though Bobby Manning's isn't a Celtics show, it's still, Celtics-centered to some degree, although he covers sports and entertainment. And then, of course, the CLNS postgame show feed. So, yeah, there's like five different shows that you can listen to. And you're going to hear all your favorite hosts from all those shows on this postgame show, as well as we're going to throw out Patrick Gilroy, who does host a show on Saturday mornings on ESPN New Hampshire and was integral into getting this partnership going. And I want to just thank Patrick for that. And you may remember him if you're a longtime listener of Celtics Stuff Live way back in the day, his show Celtics Pride with Jeff Hickman and Gilroy. So Jeff is still Pat's co-host on Saturdays, and their show continues, although not under the name Celtics Pride. But lots of great content, doing something new every year, and especially have to plug the Garden Report on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/CLNS Radio as well. Jared Weiss, absolutely killing it. And we'll be doing the post-game show on Saturday night coming up here in just a couple of days, which will be the first that will be broadcast from the internet directly out over ESPN New Hampshire's terrestrial airways. Got to throw out the call lines once again. They are open, and we are definitely waiting for your call. Watches call, movement watches call lines, 347-215-7771. All right, Josue, let's talk a little bit about some other players' play. But Jay Crowder didn't really have an awesome night from the field either, 0-for-5. But you know what? It's the little things, right?
Yeah, that's always been the story of Jay Crowder. You know, that's why he became who he is now. You know, from doing the little things and starting to get his develop his shot. One thing I found interesting about Jay is that he sort of was doing like the one dribble shot and you know, or 1-2 dribble shot, sort of rushing it. I would like to see Jay sort of score off the dribble more. You know, not just one dribble, two dribble. I'd like to see him kind of cross up his guy a bit, take it to the hoop. I mean, aside from the fast break along with Isaiah Thomas, it wasn't necessarily going to the hoop as we've seen him before or in the past. And I feel like him and Isaiah Thomas are sort of, they're sort of taking their time here. You know, they know it's preseason. They know they're still getting acclimated a bit with Al Horford. I mean, I feel like a lot of the time Jay Crowder is sort of trying to perfect his outside shot, which is something that's going to be important for this team coming up. But I think tonight he was just a little off in terms of trying to knock down those outside jump shots that he's trying to perfect before the regular season.
And you're right. He should be attacking the basket. I mean, I don't think he has any fear of getting another or sustaining another high ankle sprain.
Oh, no.
But
he's
boy,
ready to go.
It was, he totally is. He's fired up. But what a bummer it was last season when he was doing exactly what you just asked him to do, which is get after it a little bit, get inside. He was developing that part of his game and then really got waylaid by that injury and didn't pick it up anymore. So I think it's a point of emphasis for him. I think we will see it some more, and it probably will help him open up that outside shot as well.
Right. Absolutely. He knows he's going to get more open shots this season. He knows what Al Horford is going to do on offense. You know, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. So I think he understands that he has a chance to not only bump up his average, but become one of their go-to guys when it comes to, you know, knocking down that corner three. Of course, Avery Bradley is their top shooter he's the top shooter on this team. But Jay Crowder has sort of emerged after last season as a secondary option on offense. And I think he just wants to emerge into – you know, he just wants to be a better player. He knows that the more touches he gets, the better chances he has of adding his to his points production and possibly becoming a 16, 17 point per game scorer, which would be huge for the Celtics.
You know, I want to get your take on this because originally the conversation was which guard is going to survive the cuts, RJ Hunter or James Young. And then people started throwing out, well, I wouldn't consider Jordan Mickey a lot. A lock for the roster. A lot of people loved him last year. And yes, he bolsters the depth in the more thin front court rotation. But then other people said, I wouldn't even say Gerald Green is a lock for the roster. But really, it started out as a James Young versus RJ Hunter conversation. But I think Jordan Mickey's definitely looped in. If they decide that they love Mickey, Young, and Hunter, I could see them move on from Gerald Green. But Gerald had a nice night shooting, 4-for-8 anyway. And Jordan Mickey had a pretty good performance. I mean, there were some moments. He had some bad positionings where he got caught directly underneath the rim for a rebound that he otherwise probably would have gathered. But James Young and R.J. Hunter, for the most part, somewhat quiet. I mean, R.J., I think he had a nice steal. I'm not sure if I'm recollecting that correctly, but what do you think? I mean, we've seen everybody kind of have some flashes. James Young looked good at the first two games and then hasn't really made a statement since then. RJ Hunter in the last game was pretty solid. Now Jordan Mickey makes a little bit of a statement. Gerald Green's only played because he's only been healthy. He's only played in two games, but he's still more of a front runner just because of experience. I think it really boils down to Mickey, Young, and Hunter, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. With Gerald Green, I have a hard time seeing him crack this rotation at first. I think he'll be a guy that's sort of the plug-in guy when someone gets hurt or comes in when someone's in foul trouble. With Kelly Olynyk, I don't know if he's going to be ready by the start of the season. You may see Gerald Green get a few minutes here or there, but I think they brought him here for a reason. And I think a lot of that has to do with his offense. He's not afraid to take shots, obviously. We've seen that before. 2 years ago, this was a guy who was considered a six-man candidate, So I don't think the Celtics are hoping that he can get back to being that guy. But if he can be a guy who can knock down threes, hit down a couple of other shots from the perimeter, and provide this team with instant offense off the bench, then you need someone like that. Of course,
and
he's a veteran.
It's a depth move because if somebody, like we just talked about Crowder going down last season, if you have that happen again, you've at least got to have somebody come in. And they knew the second unit was an issue in terms of generating offense. And this is a spark plug. I don't think they expect him to play regular rotation minutes. I just think they expect him to come in and knock his shots down when he's needed. He's got a role, but it may not be on a night-in, night-out basis, barring injury.
Right. I don't think it'll be on a consistent level. Same thing goes for Jordan Mickey. This is a guy I think the Celtics are really big on. I think they have high hopes for this guy to become eventually become a shot blocker in this league, become a defender in the post. But this year is just not going to be his year quite yet. I see him at the end of the bench. I see him going to Maine a few times, making a couple of trips up there. But I don't think this is a guy that the Celtics are ready to give up on. This isn't someone that they're going to ultimately cut ties with. I think Jordan Mickey is a part of the future. The odd man out, in my opinion, is going to be either James Young or RJ Hunter. And it's funny, man. Some nights I'm thinking there's no way it's going to be RJ Hunter. And other nights I'm thinking it's the same thing about James Young. So it's hard to say right now. But if I had to pick, if I was the guy who was in charge of making that decision, right now I would pick RJ Hunter. But they still have a few more games to prove me wrong. So we'll see what James Young can do with the next few more games.
So you would keep Hunter, and see, I've been feeling like I just am not seeing the alpha dog in RJ Hunter. Not that I've seen it in James Young either, but and I've leaned towards keeping James Young, which really puts me in the minority over RJ Hunter. But the one thing that RJ Hunter has going for him over James Young, it's not age, but it's development time with the club. He's a year behind. James Young has had the full three seasons. You know what else it comes down to is who's tradable? Because neither of these guys are going to sniff the rotation this year. Now we're talking either big-time consolidation trade or we're talking major injuries to at least one, if not two players, for a spot to open up for either of them. So I think what it really boils down to for the Celtics, they got to figure out which players they want to continue trying to develop, which ones they think – really going to come around. And I don't know RJ Hunter's work ethic, but I know James Young's was significantly called into question. So that and the fact that RJ Hunter has one less year with the club might give RJ a little bit more of a shot. Now, the other issue is this team is loaded with shorter mid-sized guard/wings, whereas James Young's got a little more length, which gives him position flexibility potentially. And maybe the Celtics say, you know what, this is a guy we can just utilize more likely in the future versus RJ Hunter, just because, hey, we've done a great job of drafting guards, even Demetrius Jackson. We've done a great job of developing depth. And so we're going to stick with James Young. We like how he reacted after Summer League. Who knows? I don't think Ben Bentel's going to make the roster, though. I'm feeling pretty confident about that. Probably get signed to a D-League contract.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that one. Yeah.
It's funny because he looks like he's got the body for it, right? Don't you think? Like you see him and you're like, this guy had, especially the first couple of games in Summer League, you're starting to get a little, everybody's getting on the hype train. But I don't think it's quite there.
It's just too crowded in that front court, man. It's just too much. We can't forget about Olynyk. Olynyk's obviously going to make this team, and he's going to be a part of this team's rotation from last year and from the year before, back when he was a rookie. I really think Brad Stevens is just a big Kelly Olynyk guy because of his shooting ability. On defense, that's a whole other story. But I think because of his shooting, because of his height, that he's someone that's just going to be part of this rotation. And when you add him alongside Al Horford, Amir Johnson, I think Jonas Jerebko, there's going to be minutes for him in the front court as well. I just don't see enough time for someone like Bentel to come up and get some minutes to develop. And can't forget about Tyler Zeller. How can I forget about Tyler Zeller?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, you can't say Kelly Olynyk without bringing up Tyler Zeller, right?
I'm a big Tyler Zeller guy. I mean, I think this guy can do things on offense that Kelly Olynyk can't. But both guys.
This is where we diverge. All right, keep going.
This is the thing, though. Both of these guys just cannot play defense, man. I mean, if I had to pick one of the two, I'd give it to Olynyk, I guess. I think Olynyk is probably a little bit of a better defender. But, I mean, Tyler Zeller, he's just – if he's not getting scored on or just getting crossed up in the paint, he's getting fouled out. He's just a foul waiting to happen down low. But on offense, it's the complete 180. I mean, he's someone that you can dump the ball down low. He's got great hands. We talked about running the floor. This guy will run the floor for you and finish strong. I think he's someone that changes things on offense.
How much does he miss Rajon Rondo? How much does Tyler Zeller miss Rajon Rondo? Because there was chemistry there that he hasn't found with the other guards.
You can make an argument that that's the reason why he was starting that year, and they went into the
– Absolutely.
And the following year, he was still starting. When Brad Stevens first got his first taste of playoff basketball, that was his starting center. It was Tyler Zeller. And then Amir Johnson came along, and of course, you had to go with Amir because of what he can do, again, on both ends of the floor. Defensively, he's just a nightmare, and he just hasn't shown any signs of getting better.
No. And you know what's funny, too, is like, the talent is there, and he's a young player, but his contract, he's such a perfect piece to add to trade. All we heard last year was, well, Amir Johnson's contract fits really well, and it's on a one-on-one deal, so they don't even have to pick up the option, so it's essentially expiring. But really, Tyler Zeller plays that role much more, because even though Amir would have been a nice veteran for another team to add heading into the postseason, you knew that the Celtics were having enough success that he was sticking around, and that that was by January. We'd figured that out. So Tyler Zeller is a little bit different, though. He's lost in the shuffle with this rotation. The contract size is solid for making numbers work on a consolidation trade, considering just about everybody on the Celtics roster is on one of those nice contracts. It's an affordable contract, right? Everybody is cap friendly on this team, it seems like. Right. The only one that's really not is really Amir Johnson, and it's more like he's not age friendly because of the wear and tear on his body. Even though, I think he's gonna, when he's healthy, he's really solid, and Al Horford makes Amir look good. But Tyler Zeller is just such a perfect tradable commodity. It's almost like I'd be shocked if he wasn't traded this year.
Yeah, I would be too, actually, because of his contract. Yeah, that's a good point you bring up about Al Horford. I think that's going to help Amir Johnson down low, kind of takes the attention off of him a bit. He's also going to make him a better defender, I think, because he's going to be a better help defensive guy, you know. He's someone that can come in and block a few shots for you, can get the fast break going that way. He's, you know, this is a guy who's we've seen him score about 12, 13 points down low on tip-ins and getting the ball down low and scoring in the paint. You know, this is a guy who I think alongside Al Horford can elevate his game a little bit and beef up that front court on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, you almost would have expected Terry Rozier to play more minutes with Zeller just because he is a little bit more of a distributing guard, but he can create his own offense. So I don't know. I feel like there could have been chemistry there, but Olynyk's going to be back soon enough, and that's when Zeller's minutes are going to fall off like a cliff. All right, we're going to hit the break. We do get a caller on the line we're going to get to right when we come back after this quick break. But, yes, the Movement Watches call-in lines, 347-215-7771. Again, that's 347-215-7771. We're going to be right back after this. You're listening to the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show, streaming live on clnsradio.com as well as ESPN New Hampshire 900 and 1250 AM.
What's going on, Pass Nation? This is Marvin Zahn of CLNS Radio, and I'm here to tell you right now to check out the CLNS Radio New England Patriots postgame show hosted by myself and my co-host, Mr. Mike Knight. And live on clnsradio.com immediately after every single pass game. Call in at 929-477-2386 toll free to get your voice heard and contribute to the host breakdown and analysis of the latest Patriots contest. We also got the stars and sorries of the day, Twitter polls for the play of the game, and everything else that is going on with the four-time Super Bowl champions. Subscribe to the CLNS Radio New England Patriots postgame show on iTunes and Stitcher. And the best way, download the free CLNS Radio mobile app for on-demand listening anytime, anyplace, anywhere.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com, internet radio pioneers, and Celtics diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS.
Got some new beats tonight. Some new beats.
It's getting me pumped up.
All right. I know.
It's something
right?
I want to listen to before like a big game or something. That's what this sounds like.
I know. I was just thinking I'm going to paint my face and scream at myself in the mirror right now.
It's like pregame. It's pregame music is what this is.
It reminds me of Latimer from the movie The Program. I don't know if you go back that far or not, but.
No, I don't.
Oh, you got it, dude. You got it.
The
it's
program?
An old. Yeah, The Program. It's from like the early 90s. It's about a, you know, I think it's actually, I can't remember which club, but they're ECU, which makes me think of Eastern Carolina University, which actually, you know, their football team has gotten better over the last 10 years. But it's just, it's hilarious. You know, you got the standard quarterback and then you got the roid raging middle linebacker. And that's Latimer. He's out of control and he's scary. So you have to look it up. The Program. It's old, man. It's probably 20. It's at least 20 years old now, maybe closer to 25. But
Hey, we got a caller on the line, so we are going to bring Catherine from Bleed Green on to join us right now. Catherine, welcome to the CLNS hey. Postgame Show. What's going on?
Nothing much. What's going on with you guys?
We're just feeling good about the team.
Yeah. I'm feeling good about no overtime. I'm not going to lie. And it was so funny because that's what Mike Gorman said on the broadcast. He's like, we're getting close to the dreaded, preseason overtime, So everybody's like, no, we got what we needed out of this game. Let's move on. But I'll tell you what, this is the first game I've been able to watch because the other ones weren't on League Pass and I'm out of market. And so I could have handled a little overtime. I could have handled a little bit.
Man, what's up with that? I hate how League Pass does that because I have League Pass too. And it's like, I want to watch other games and I can't. I got to wait till the regular season, I guess.
Yeah, it's bizarre. So, Catherine, what's on your mind?
Nothing. I just wanted to say that I'm excited that Paul Pierce decided to sign a one-year deal next summer. Definitely excited about that, and definitely excited to see Isaiah Thomas this year again, too.
All right. Hey, yeah. I'm excited, too. I mean,
happy birthday to Paul Pierce, too. Sorry.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly. Happy birthday to Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you can always jump in if you want to wish happy birthday to the truth, man. Don't worry about that. But no, I was just gonna say,
he's my favorite player, of course.
Oh, we're in the same boat then. It's funny because I want to see how the Celtics play this out. Is he going to actually put the uniform on, and is there going to be like an epic contract signing, even though it's worth for 24 hours? How is it going to play out? It's gonna be interesting to see because in Boston we like to exaggerate a bit, or when it comes to our retirements and all the fun ceremonies when it comes to honoring our favorite players in the city.
But I'd love to see him in green again.
Hey, me too. Me too. I wish this was like some sort of trade before the trading deadline where we could see Pierce lace him up in green for one last time, help the season, this playoff run. But that's not going to be the case, it looks like. But at least, hey, he'll officially be a Celtic and right off into the sunset wearing green.
Exactly. No matter what, always bleed green.
That's right.
You know, it's Doc Rivers' birthday, too. And I forgot they had like the same
birthday. Doc Rivers, too.
That's right.
It's funny because a lot of people aren't really missing Doc. There's like this kind of, hey, you left and you didn't want to go through the rebuild, and people are knocking him for it. But I got to tell you, I love Doc. I definitely enjoyed his time. I definitely struggled a little bit sometimes with his calls coming out of timeouts, and there were his reluctance to play the young players and whatnot. But listen, he was at the helm when we won banner number 17. And so he's always going to get lumped in with Paul Pierce on the birthday wishes for me.
I'll always love Doc Rivers too. So,
It is too bad. It's too bad that Paul can't sign with the team or that they wouldn't be able to trade for him. I know there's really no spot in the rotation for him, but boy, wouldn't it be nice to see him? I mean, that was the one thing about that trade that was unsettling was you really wanted to see Paul be with one uniform his entire career.
Well, it would be nice.
Well, during the offseason, before the Joe Green signing, I was sort of thinking, hey, that would be a great role for Pierce to come in and Phil, because ever since he's moved on from the Celtics, he's sort of been that 3/4 in small ball lineups, and that's the sort of lineup that he would fit perfectly here with Brad Stevens. And then when they went out and signed Gerald Green, I was like, yeah, there's really no space for this guy. But I'm not hopeful, but I was thinking in my mind, this team could use someone like Paul Pierce coming off the bench.
They could, but no matter what, it'll be good to see Paul Pierce.
Yeah, that last game in Boston is going to be something else, man, coming this February. Because this is the first time we absolutely 100% know this is going to be his last game in the Garden. So that's going to be a special moment.
It is, definitely.
Catherine, do you live in the Boston area? Are you in the Boston market? Like, you can watch the game on Comcast Sports New England?
Yes, I can watch. I live in Somerville, but I can definitely watch Celtics in Comcast.
Well, you brought up Isaiah Thomas and how excited you are to see him play again this year. But how quick – I mean, isn't it kind of surprising? Like, we talk about players like Paul Pierce, and we just talk about Doc Rivers, and they have a special place in our heart and what they contributed to the franchise. Isn't it amazing how quickly Celtics fans basically adopted Isaiah Thomas as their new, you know, beloved star? I mean, a lot of it's Isaiah's personality, and, you know, he's got that endearing smile. I mean, imagine he's got a job in sales after his playing days are over if he wants it. But isn't it almost surprising to see a player come in and just win the fans over so quickly?
Because he didn't give up on the team. That's the way I see. He didn't give up on the team last year. He gave it his, like, all on the playoffs.
He also didn't give up when he heard he was being traded to a team that really was in complete disarray, and he saw it as an opportunity to resurrect his career. And then I think that's one of the biggest factors about why people embraced him. Look at the turnaround from the minute he showed up in that. And it wasn't even a trade deadline trade. It was a little bit earlier than that, but how quickly that club, I mean, that particular team, the Celtics, I mean, they had gone through the Rondo trade, the Jeff Green trade. It looked like it was tankapalooza. There were even some people who said that that was a bad trade because they would have had a better draft position. But look at where we're at now. You know, pick number 3 overall. We've got the Nets pick next year. This was absolutely a worthwhile acquisition. And things began to go in the right direction very quickly after he showed up in town.
It sure did.
Yeah, you know, Justin, it's funny because when he came along, he had guys like Jay Crowder and a couple other young guys who were sort of just trying to fight for not only consistent playing time on this other team, but sort of their place in the league. You know, I feel like all these guys were trying to figure out how they were going to not only get consistent minutes, but emerge or you know, hit that next level. For Isaiah Thomas, the next level for him was being a consistent starter, and which eventually led to him being an all-star, which we saw last year. For Jay Crowder, his next level was just being an everyday player, right? Because in Dallas, he wasn't even seeing the floor. He was at the end of the bench. He was in playing garbage time, you know, not being able to show everyone what he has and what he can do for a team. And then the Rajon Rondo trade happens, and boom, here he is coming into Boston. He emerges as a consistent guy who's now, in my opinion, one of the better wing guys or one of the better defenders in the league when it comes to locking down the wing. And I think he's on his way to a very, very bright future for the Celtics. And I don't even – not even – this is without even mentioning the contract that he signed last summer. Man, what a steal. For all these crazy money that's being tossed around this past summer and all the crazy money that's going to be tossed around next summer, you look at Jay Crowder's contract and you say that might be the biggest bargain in the NBA.
Yeah, and the only negative thing that he says – that even deserves any criticism is how he basically chumped the Toronto Raptors this summer. There was no like, oh yeah, no, you gotta, I mean, even Isaiah Thomas had the Brinks truck line, which was tongue in cheek, but you know, were he not so beloved, that thing would have been picked apart. He would have been eaten alive by the vultures.
Absolutely. If that was a young Paul Pierce in 2000, 2001, the media would have had a field day with him. Yeah, that's true.
All right, Catherine, any other thoughts before – we're going to be wrapping the show up in about 5 or 6 minutes, but wanted to make sure
I
you got to everything you wanted to talk.
Happy birthday to Doc Rivers and Paul Pierce, and I'll definitely be in the garden soon.
Awesome.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Catherine, nice talking to you guys.
Nice talking to you. Thank you for the call. You know, it's funny, Josue, what we were just talking about, because I hadn't really looked at that whole Crowder, you know, thing, but – you know, this team, it's amazing with all, even Avery Bradley, if you want to talk about these underpaid sort of contracts, it's amazing that no negativity is spilled out. And that's really a sign of leadership top to bottom, which it's no surprise. If you're following the Celtics, you know that the front office is very well established, well run, well organized, well respected, so well respected, in fact, that I'm not even sure Danny Ainge is ever going to be able to pull off a trade again. I mean, they've done these things with players, and maybe we do overvalue our players. That's always a criticism when, you know, a certain fan base is saying, and this definitely came up at the trade deadline, well, wait a second, that's way too much. We're not, and Crowder was at the center of that. Apparently, he was the player teams were asking for. You know, you look at a club like the Clippers, where Doc denied 100% that there was any, you know, Blake Griffin trade talk. But I guarantee you, if there was Blake Griffin trade talk, the conversation centered around bringing Jay Crowder into town.
Yeah, the Blake Griffin talk, that's not something I believe necessarily. I think those guys still believe that they can make a run at it, especially after what happened last year with Blake Griffin and the whole suspension and the injury and all that craziness that happened in L.A. I think they're still ready to give it one more crack. But when you look at the trade talks about Jimmy Butler, on the other hand, that I believe, I think that you can hold that it holds some weight when we're talking about trading for Jimmy Butler, an all-star, someone in the backcourt who can do a lot of things for you on both ends of the floor. And if you're making a trade with the Celtics, if I'm Chicago, it's a no-brainer. I'm asking for Jay Crowder. I'm asking for Avery Bradley. I'm asking for a first-round pick. And I think that was sort of the language that was going between Danny Ainge and the Bulls. And Danny eventually said no, you know, and I don't blame him, because that's just a whole lot to give up for a guy like Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and you want to make that leap, but if you got the team to make the leap, then will you really achieve the goal, or did you just get a little bit thinner? Now, we've seen the club do it before when they got Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett to go with Paul Pierce, and then they had free agency, and they were able to bring in some players, and you would think that that might actually have worked out where they could acquire some role players just based on the fact that the salary cap bumped up as much as it did. But really, they were able to secure Al Horford. Then they've got Isaiah Thomas. So if they were to make a trade for another top flight talent, you'd essentially have a big three. You certainly are going to be giving the Raptors a run for number two. Some people are already feeling like that's a pretty strong possibility. But that second spot, I feel like the Raptors and Celtics are going to be neck and neck. And that's thanks to the Al Horford acquisition. But both teams are really one player away from competing legitimately with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, the difference is the Celtics have the assets. They have the right players on the right contracts. They've got the picks coming up. So you could see a move. Jimmy Butler, maybe he would have moved the needle, but like you said, how much do you really want to gut the team to try and get it done? I'll tell you what, you brought up League Pass and how it stinks that, you know, there's not that many games that we can watch until closer to the regular season. But boy, I'd say if there are two teams I wanted to keep my, well, three, I guess, teams that I wanted to keep my eye on this season, one's Philadelphia, just to see Embiid play, and Dario Saric. And they've got a number of young, talented players. I just think they're interesting to watch, a different way of doing a redevelopment, right? Their path is very different than the Celtics' path, but in some ways started around the same time. And it's interesting to watch them. Obviously, Golden State goes without saying, but that Chicago club and the Rondo Butler Wade thing, provided they all stay healthy. I really only want to watch the games with all three of them healthy, but provided all three are healthy, it's got to be an interesting watch.
Yeah, that's a team I'm certainly going to look out for. I want to see how they work things out in terms of how they move their offense and how they defend. Someone like Dwayne Wade, who's obviously shown that he has plenty left in the tank. He had one hell of a playoff run with the Heat. He played very well in the playoff in the postseason. But it's going to be interesting to see how his season pans out, because this is a guy that you kind of have to start watching his minutes a bit. You got to make sure that he doesn't wear off going into the postseason. So it's going to be interesting to see how they balance that out, along with someone like Jimmy Butler and, of course, Rajon Rondo. Now, when I say Rajon Rondo, I don't mean about his attitude or how he is in the locker room or all that. I'm talking about how he has to have the ball for about, I don't know, 12 to 14 seconds per possession. You know, how is that going to work with a guy like Dwayne Wade and a guy like Jimmy Butler? So it's going to be very interesting to see how that unfolds.
You know, as we're wrapping, I'm just looking ahead at the schedule, and it's going to be a little while. I think Game one
Chicago
against the Bulls, right?
Yeah,
game
Chicago
one
is going to be right away, right?
That's going to be excellent. In the meantime, all we're doing is playing New York. So Saturday's game is against the Knicks. Monday's against the Nets. Then next Wednesday, it's the Knicks again, And then we – oh, no, the Nets is game one. The Bulls is game two, right?
It's on the road, yeah. The second game of the season on the road against the Bulls. You also have Cleveland, about a week later. And then you have the Warriors.
On Thursday, November 3rd.
And then the Celtics are hosting the Warriors mid-November. So the Celtics are going to be facing some of the best teams in the league right out the gate in this regular season schedule.
I'm going to be at that Warriors game, too. I'll be covering it, and I'll be on the Garden Report with Jared Weiss, as well as the founder of CLNS, Nick Gelso. We're both going to be going. So I'm looking forward to that. That one, man, the Garden's going to be rocking for that game. That's just going to be an intense scene.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't wait to see the questions asked to Durant, and it's going to be plenty of eye rolling and, you know. It's going to be an interesting response on and off the court. It's going to be a very fun night at the Garden, to say the least.
Yeah, no, it will be. And I wonder how much you talk about somebody like Kobe going on the tour last year and how available he was to the media and everything that, you know, I'll just call it a circus. It's a justified circus, but the circus that was around him, you almost think that what they're going to do with Durant is going to be super protected. I almost think that they're going to be insulating him. It will be very interesting to see how accessible he really is to the media, you know, pre and post game. And if it's a loss post game, just wait, because nobody wants to be on that visiting locker room with the expectations that have been heaped on that club after getting Durant to come and leave his buddy Russell Westbrook behind. So that'll be interesting. All right, we're going to hit it. That's going to do it for this post-game show. It's going to be available for on-demand listening by searching for the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Follow CLNS on social media at CLNS Radio on Twitter, and like us at facebook.com/CLNSFans. Also, ESPNRadioNH.com and at ESPNNH on Twitter, /ESPNNHampshire on Facebook. Today's show was brought to you by MVMT. That's right, movementwatches.com/CelticsBeat. /CelticsBeat. That'll get you 15% off your first purchase with free shipping, as well as Audible. Audiblepodcast.com/try now for a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Music was provided by Joshua Morse, and I want to thank today's callers. I mean caller Catherine, and everyone who tuned in. Thank you to Nick for running the board behind the scenes and managing the music and everything. Appreciate that. Looking very much forward to the CLNS post-game shows throughout the season with all the talented players from CLNS Radio. And for executive producer Larry H. Russell, program director, that's me, Justin Poulin, the founder of the network, Nick Gelso, and my co-host Joe Sway, I'm Justin. We'll see everyone back here on Saturday night when the Celtics take on the Knicks.